Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkanda Wira, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you too. Thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And how are you?
I am well. I am well.
Great stuff. I hope that your day has been fine so far.
So far, so good. I have had a wonderful day today.
Ah, fantastic. Now, Pastor, you know, we're continuing from what we started yesterday. You know, most of us have obligations, you know, financial obligations, family obligations that make it somewhat complicated to simply just sell all we have and follow, as it were, just as a young rich ruler was told to do so. So we're going to be talking about the practical side of shared responsibilities amidst our desire to serve as the less fortunate. Now, are God's standards, Pastor, for sharing what we have with those who have less only directed to the rich and wealthy? Does an average income earner also have a responsibility to the poor?
Yes, actually, God wants everyone of his people to be generous in giving to the poor and in, you know, spreading the good news through his character. And so it doesn't matter whether ours is an average income, we all have an obligation. So here is an example in scripture. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 41 to verse 44, this is what the Bible says. Now, Jesus sat opposite, that's Mark, not Matthew. Mark. Now, Jesus sat, Mark 12, verse 41 to 44. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And there were many who put money. Verse 42, then one poor widow came and threw in two small copper coins. Verse 43, so he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that this woman has put in more than all these who have given money to the treasury. For they all put in from the abundance of their riches, but she has put in of her poverty all that she had, her livelihood. And so, here is an obligation to God. For as long as we have an income, we are all obligated to give back to God a tenth of that income. It doesn't matter how small that income is. By the same token, the same principle applies for helping the poor. It doesn't matter how small, how meager our income is, for as long as we have an income, for as long as we are a little fortunate than others, we have an obligation towards those who are less fortunate than ourselves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, man, Pastor, tell me, what can someone do, you know, who wishes to be washed clean and start over? In fact, we'll come to that a little later. But what I wanted to get to is, how do we navigate making decisions regarding sharing with the less fortunate? I mean, with our families who may not be in the same page. For examples, if a husband wants to donate to the church or charity, wife wants to build up family savings, etc. You can see that there's competing priorities there. How is it then worked out in the family setting?
All right, this is a good question, and I like it that it's family and husband and wife are in disagreement over their priorities. I would say that you do not spend a bit of any portion of your money until you are agreed. If it is husband and wife, you must agree before you spend any bit of your money. So this is family income. Family income must be spent with the consensus of members of the family. And so if there is disagreement between wishes to provide something to charity or to the church or to build for the family, I would say do not spend that money until you have agreed. So instead of spending that money, sit down with your spouse, talk about it, and agree on the merits and demerits of your wishes. Come to a sense consensus and then make your expenditure. As a family, it is a bad idea to spend money without the approval of one spouse. It must be done with both your agreement. And so instead of spending first, it's a good thing that you wanting to do good, wishing to do good. God knows the heart. So he knows your heart is in the right place. But bring your spouse also to the right place of where your heart is. Mm-hmm. And until then, do not spend a bit of that money.
All right. And is there a bad time or a wrong condition under which, to give? There may be some bad timing in terms of, giving. Maybe one's condition is not in a good one, and yes, one may wish to say, no, man, it's not a good time, etc., etc. What then happens? Is there good timing?
Yes, there is good timing, bad timing, and good conditions and wrong conditions for giving. Let me just speak to two of them. And so the Bible tells us of a scenario where you want to give, but for the wrong reason. And so here we have in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. Let me read this. These are the words of Jesus Christ, and he says that verse 1, take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the conditions that are wrong for giving are the desire to show off, to be seen of men, and to have glory for your giving. That's a wrong condition.
Yeah.
And so it should not be done. Christ says we should not do so.
Yes.
Another condition is where we discussed yesterday. Paul speaks of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. He says we must not give grudgingly.
Yes.
So
yes.
If we are not all-heartedly giving, we should not give at all. Now, to demonstrate this, let me, maybe it's quite a long passage, but it's in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, all the way to verse 10. Here we have a story of husband and wife who agreed to sell their property and give the money to the apostles. But when they sold their property, instead of giving the entire amount of money that they sold the property for, they kept back some of the money and then lied to the apostles that this was the whole amount for which they sold the property. and husband and wife were in agreement on this matter. And as a result, they both died because they both sought to lie to the Holy Spirit. And so they both died. This story is in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. And so when you are not giving wholeheartedly, it is a bad time, bad condition for giving, and you ought not to give at all. It is the same scenario as giving grudgingly as the scenario that Paul gives us in 2 Corinthians. And so, yes, there are times when it is wrong. It is not, the conditions are not right. There are times when it is wrong to give. And so we must not give when the times and the conditions are wrong. We should give wholeheartedly and without grudging, so that when we give, we like lend to the Lord wholeheartedly. And God, who sees in secret, will then openly reward us, because, like we discussed yesterday, God is a faithful God. We give to him through his people, and he will give back what we have lent to him. And so, yes, there are times when it's wrong. And so in those times, those conditions, we should not dare do it, because when we do, Christ says we have no reward from our Heavenly Father.
Indeed. You know, in this business of giving, you know, as we talked about Christ bidding the young rich ruler to give up everything of his wealth and coming back. Mm-hmm. And we see many times people who are involved in business. I'm talking now about, you know, people who are, I'm going to say, inverted commas. This is coming to the earlier question I came to, inverted commas, washing their money through donating to the church, because we don't know if this is all ill-gotten wealth or what has happened. And so some find it a way to wash their money and clean their money. Can then a church organization take money that is inverted commas coming from a person who's washing? So this person is known to have a legitimate business, but also as people are not sure what other underhanded business he may be doing, but there are some suspicions. Can a church then take that money and just simply pray for it, wash it with prayer, and then use it for the poor?
So this person is known to be using dubious means for gaining income.
Yeah.
And we know as a church that this money is not clean money. When we take that money, we are doing it without the approval of God. God does not approve sin. And so we know that this person is engaged in dubious business.
Right.
And so they are openly sinning. When we take their money, we encourage them to continue with their business, because as a church, we endorse their business. God doesn't work like that. In the olden times, when people brought offerings to God, God prescribed how offerings ought to be. He said that you could do whatever you want with your tithe, but when it is an offering that you are bringing to the Lord, it must be without blemish. It must be whole, not lame at all, and no disease on it. And so that is prescribing how today, if we are to give charity to the Lord, it must be clean money. It must be from hard-earned means, so that we don't wash because we use the people of God or God's means for the sustaining his people. We use those means to wash our money, so that in the process, God endorses our businesses. God doesn't work like that, because he does not dwell with sin.
Yeah.
And so when the church takes such money, it is as a result of selfishness of the individuals and not God, because God does not endorse sin. So he cannot tolerate sin. Instead, what God desires is that we, through our influence as a church, we encourage such people, because we know them to be doing wrong businesses. We encourage them to come clean and wash their characters so that they are accepted of God and they are a new creation. They start afresh because they can, and they can make good, clean money when they start afresh.
Mm.
That is our business, to encourage them to come clean and do clean business, and not to allow them to perpetuate in their wrong businesses simply because we are enjoying their money.
Well, some may say, well, the devil, God has even used the devil to do some good work.
What? Scripture says he can use a broken stick, you know, bent stick, crooked stick to draw a straight line. So...
Man,
yeah.
Well, Pastor, we've got to be letting you go, but how do we then summarize our, financial obligations vis-a-vis our obligation to give to the needy?
So, for as long as we are better off, for as long as we are more a little fortunate than others, we have an obligation to lift others also to our conditions of poverty eradication. It is our business as Christians. God expects that we help those who are needy, those who may be dependent on us. And so it doesn't matter how small our income is, it can be used to minister to others, and God will reward it. Then there are times when it is wrong for us to do so, to give, because our hearts are not in the right place.
Mm.
Each time we are giving from the meager resources we have, we must give with all our heart.
A pure heart.
So that it is blessed. It is blessed by God because it's a pure, it is coming from a pure heart.
Okay. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time and joining us. We're going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.